Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where Virat Kohli clocked 1,000 days without scoring a century, still miles behind our combined effort of almost 40,000 days, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Kohli's on 97. Looking for his 100. And finds his 100.
You're here with Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. Apologies for the poor quality of that audio clip, but I think it was from like a 1930s newsreel, so I had to go back quite a way to find a Virat Kohli century.
I love how the beautiful English accent really complements that newsreel music.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, Virat will never catch us, right? Yeah,
no, we're miles ahead and going at twice the rate he is, technically.
Yep, that's right.
I did like how in that audio clip it says, looking for his 100, finds his 100. It is always in the last place you look, right?
So yeah.
Virat should maybe
right.
go back and look there again.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the first test between England and South Africa.
Isn't it glorious to have test cricket back on?
Yeah, we went for a gap of, 5 or 6 weeks without it, and now it's back. Very exciting.
Yeah.
So, what happened? We did have lots of England batters before the test talking about how Brendan McCullum had taught them not to be afraid of getting out, and they certainly showed that lack of fear in the first test, didn't they?
Yeah.
None of them were afraid. They were just,
not afraid to get out in double figures for the entire team.
Yep, it was very exciting. So they not a care in the world as they all got out. I think based on that metric that Zach Crawley may be the most fearless cricketer in the history of the game. He's very not afraid at all of getting out.
Well, on that basis, he can't be dropped from the side for subsequent tests because that would show terrible inconsistency from McCullum.
And what they want from they do acknowledge that he might be inconsistent. I don't think he's very inconsistent. I think he's very consistent. But it would be very inconsistent of them to drop him at
Indeed.
This stage.
Yes. Keep the same side. It was hilarious. And only it was a little short. Really, we only really got 2 days of test cricket. That's not enough. Definitely not enough.
But if they are only going to have 2 days, I do quite like the idea of them having, the first couple of sessions, then washing out the session where we would be otherwise asleep. If England are going to have a shortened game, just have it in the hours when we're awake. That's
you could
very
wash
handy.
Out that third session.
Every night.
Every night. And make the game go a little bit longer and we get to see the whole thing.
Yeah. What were some other highlights of the test for you?
Well, I just love Dean Elgar. Captaining. He's one of my favourite players. I think he did a fabulous job and he's always so happy about it as well.
Yeah. Very unlucky with his dismissal. I think he was on the brink of a half century and kind of defended one and then it bounced up and over and hit his elbow and just trickled into the stumps. And
normally the bails don't fall off at all.
Yeah. We've seen, Cameron Green and others just hammer balls straight into the stumps and the bails just get knocked.
Folks must have been blowing as hard as he could.
Yep. I think a friend of the podcast, Alex Bowden, he described it as elbowed for Dean Elgar.
Yep, that is so great. Elbowed.
Yes. What else have we got here?
Did we see much Bazball?
We didn't see much Bazball, but I did like how, you know, Bazball so far in its brief existence has been founded on the concept of, you know, England chasing down ridiculous totals in the last innings. And I did particularly like how, despite being put into bat in this test, they still managed to conspire a way to make sure that they were batting last in the test again.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Very clever.
Yeah, yes. Very, very, very clever.
It does make me wonder why England, you know, don't just pretend they're chasing a record fourth innings total every time they go out to bat. They seem to be very good at it. So.
Yeah, they could probably simulate that in their first innings.
Yeah, why not?
We
did have another good stat that popped up on Twitter. This was from Xavier Voithill, and he pointed out that in two successive test innings, South African bowled every ball and took all 10 wickets with spin. This was against Bangladesh in April. And then bowled every ball and took all 10 wickets with pace, which is Lord's in the first innings of this test.
That is a great stat. Incredible. Yeah.
So that's very inconsistent, isn't it?
Yeah.
South Africa need to make their mind up how they're going to play. You can't be brilliant with both spin and pace. It's not fair.
Well, we need to come up with this is obviously South Africa's style of cricket now.
Elgar ball.
Elgar ball. Mm. And we need to embrace Elgar ball. Elgar ball's clearly winning in this series so far.
Well, they're top of the world test championship, so Elgar ball's got a lot going for it.
Good work. Elgar ball is fantastic.
Mm.
And none of them are as good as Maxwell ball.
No, of course not. Maxwell ball, the original and the best.
Yes.
We did also have one of my other favourite highlights was Ian Bell, who rang the 5-minute bell at Lord's. And I just think Ian Bell should always be ringing the bell. There's no better
man
for it.
Yeah, why haven't they thought of this before? It was right in front of them. It was pretty obvious all along.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this particular episode is sponsored by a different podcast. It's not sponsored by the Ridiculous Ashes this week. It's sponsored by our other podcast, which is called Hitchpod.
Yes, this is the podcast where we watch Alfred Hitchcock movies and then talk about them.
Mm. So we've just started our second season. We're counting down the best 20 Hitchcock movies as voted on by the general public.
In the previous season, of course, we counted down all of the
in a random order. Which is a unique way of counting things down.
Exactly.
Yes. So the first movie on the countdown was the 20th best Hitchcock movie, and that was Frenzy from 1972. And we're just about to record an episode where we're going to compare it to the best picture of 1972, according to the Oscars, which was The Godfather.
Yes, according to the Oscars.
According to the Oscars, yes. So if you're interested in us talking about The Godfather and other great historical movies, because we'll be doing this with every Hitchcock movie, we'll be matching it against the best picture. Or if you're just interested in hearing us talk about the best Hitchcock movies, just search for Hitchpod and feel free to come join us.
Not much cricket. Not enough cricket, perhaps, in either of those two movies.
But there is one movie that's got a good chunk of cricket. And indeed. Who knows if that's on the top 20. Only one way to find out.
Surely it would have to be. And I think The Godfather would have been better with a bit more cricket.
Yep.
I am an ECB marketing droid, and I have created the optimal form of cricket.
What's 10 times 10?
How many balls are there in 16.4 overs?
What's the greatest cricket tournament the world has ever seen?
The 100. The 100.
The 100. The 100.
All right, so we're back talking about the 100, which of course is one of the reasons why we haven't had Test cricket for 4 or 5 weeks. It's because they've been having Commonwealth Games and the 100.
Yes, indeed. And it's so glorious that the 100 is back.
Yes.
In particular, the women have been really the most entertaining, I think.
I think so. Yeah, they started late because of the Commonwealth Games, but they've made up for lost time. So we've had some highlights, particularly from some of the Australian women.
Yeah, that's right. Alana King. Mm. She, one of our best stats, or our favourite bits of news, was that she bowled 10 dot balls. I mean, that is remarkable in any game.
Yep.
10 dot balls in a row to Marizan Kapp.
Yes, so that was very impressive. Seeing all the dot balls, I could only assume that she was trying to spell out something in Morse code.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up all the dot, dot, dot letters, and there's dot, 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 which is S, and dot, 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 which is H, and dot, which is E, and dot, dot, which is I. So she's starting to spell out she is.
She is. Now, you've got to clarify here. Was it Alana spelling it out, or was it Marizan?
I don't know. Yeah, it could have been either. So, could have been.
I think it would have been. I think it's Marizan. I mean, she's the one in control of the dotting, right?
Well, they're combining, but
I guess they're combining for it. But anyway, I think Marizan was saying she is
too hard to play.
Bowling well. She is hard to put away. Yep. Something like that.
Yes, very possible. Yes. And that wasn't all that Alana King's done, of course. She also became the first cricketer to take a hat-trick in the 100 women's competition. So, and she very sensibly did not rely on a fielder to take a catch for a hat-trick. She learnt a lesson there from the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah. It's fantastic that she got a hat-trick after just only a few weeks after having the chance put down.
Yes.
And, of course, it was Meg Lanning putting the chance down. And now Meg Lanning, news on Meg Lanning is that she's just taking a bit of a break from cricket.
Fair enough, too. Mm. She's a
win a gold medal.
Yeah. Win a gold medal, you're allowed to have a break. That's,
you should
that's
have a sit.
Motto.
You should be able to sit back, sip a drink with your gold medal on. Don't take it off.
No.
Don't take your gold medal off. Leave the gold medal on when you're sleeping, when you're having breakfast, when you're visiting your parents, whatever you happen to be doing. Leave your gold medal on and just enjoy it. And if you get back into cricket too quickly, particularly something as distracting as the 100, you don't get time to enjoy your gold medal.
Exactly. So good work from Meg Lanning.
Excellent.
We also had Elise Perry. She started off the 100 well. She had a couple of player of the match performances in her first two games. I assume she's just trying to prove that, you know, the next time Talia McGrath has COVID, that, hey, maybe don't let Talia play and bring me up to the firsts again.
Yes. Do you think she's got a little vial of virus in her bag?
Maybe. Yeah. I wouldn't put anything past Elise Perry.
No, she's good at everything.
Yes. But it's not just the Australian women, of course.
No, we had Marcus Stoinis making headlines, perhaps not for what he wanted to make headlines for, but he was dismissed by Mohammad Hasnain and left the ground, kind of demonstrating a bent arm throwing action.
Yes. Yeah, so I assume he was subtly, very subtly, oh so subtly indicating what he thought of Hasnain's action, who has had his action remodeled, but perhaps not to the extent that Marcus Stoinis is happy with.
Stoinis may just not have caught up with the remodelling.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just thought Stoinis was practising his own bowling action ready to take the field, right?
Yeah, very possibly, yes. Yeah. I did like that Stoinis turned 33 the next day and he did come out and accuse Hasnain of throwing him a birthday party. and then he went on to claim that Hasnain had thrown a spanner in the works by throwing up at that party.
Oh, of course.
Yes, and then Hasnain, for his part, suggested these were just throwaway remarks from Stoinis and that he wouldn't be thrown off by them.
And was this a stand-up routine that the two of them were
I think they've been working on it for ages. They did all this work to get it set up and sold tickets and,
fantastic.
And, of course, the 100 perhaps inevitably had its first 100. this was scored by a man with the very unlikely name of Will Smead. Smead is an unusual surname, but good work to Will Smead.
Yeah. I mean, Will Smead, straight out of a Charles Dickens novel again, also perhaps born 100 years ago.
Very possibly, yes.
Yeah, or 100 years old, either way.
Either way, yes.
Or both.
Yeah, I think if you're born 100 years ago, you are 100 years old.
Indeed.
I'm not too keen on the idea of the 100 containing 100. I think it does open the game up to Inception-style confusion.
Yes, so absolutely.
Anyway, he probably did deserve 100, though. We don't like to talk about deserving 100s. Well, in T20s, he'd previously made scores of 94 not out, 95 not out, 97, 98 and 99. So he probably should have got a 96 in there somewhere before he actually got the 100. But anyway.
Nothing like 20 fewer balls to sharpen your batting, right?
Exactly.
I want Will Smead to play for the Renegades this season.
Well, he could.
Yeah, he sounds pretty good.
Yep. We'll see if the Renegades can get him. Maybe he's in the draft. I don't know. Haven't looked. We'll see.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Okay, it's time for the Moeller Award, which celebrates all the excellent things that have happened in cricket over the last week or so.
And I can confirm Will Smead is not in the BBL draft.
That's very sad.
Yeah.
Now, we're a Smeadless draft. Is there any point to having a draft without a Will Smead in there?
Definitely not.
Yes.
Anyway, apart from that, we'll get onto the BBL in a minute, but the international schedule for the next 5 years has been announced. I don't know why this is Moeller worthy, but it kind of is, because it feels like 5 years is a bloody long time to be looking ahead.
It's a very long time. I think the last time they had a schedule there was like a pandemic. There were all kinds of things to throw it off. So I think
even in non-pandemic years, they barely get through the first year without fiddling and tinkering and making changes. I mean, the schedule never lasts that long.
No, that's true. Anyway, what does seem to be consistent at this point is that Australia, England and India will be playing lots of tests and pretty much nobody else will be playing anywhere near that many.
Yeah.
So the international schedule, where international is defined as Australia, England and India, that's been announced.
Yeah.
But there are more tests for the women as well. Again, mostly Australia, England and India, but we're less inclined to quibble about that when it comes to the women because they're starting from an infinitely lower base.
Yeah, right? That'll be fantastic to get more women's tests going on.
Yes. My next nomination is Australia, who have an ODI series against Zimbabwe starting this weekend.
Tell anyone.
It's a big secret. You can't tell anybody.
But wow.
Yeah, it's in Australia too. No one knows. Shh.
Presumably very, very it'll be broadcast somewhere.
Maybe. That might give the game away. Anyway, can't tell anybody.
Can't
top
tell
secret.
Anyone.
Shh, don't blame us.
No, we didn't mention it.
We didn't mention it.
No one gets this deep into a podcast anyway, do they?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Well, we do have some BBL news.
Mm.
And I think David Warner, did we speak about him last week?
We did mention that because David Warner was being courted by all these other T20 tournaments that are threatening to take all the good players away and perhaps have gone beyond threatening to do so now. But he has come out and he's signed for the Sydney Thunder. So he'll be back playing for the Sydney Thunder. He wants to get bums on seats.
Excellent.
I assume he means like buttocks rather than, you know, hobos or something.
Yeah, well, we don't know. The Thunder's membership could well be
just hobos.
Who knows? But is this actually true or is Warner just going to be off playing cricket for Australia and never play a BBL?
No, I think they've scheduled it this time because they've got rid of all the ODIs at that time of year. So I think they are trying to get all the proper players back playing the BBL, like all the international players. Anyway, it's going to be great to see Dave Warner playing in the final season of the Big Bash. Looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, that's true. And there's more Big Bash news too, because we do have a draft this year.
Mm.
We did not have a draft.
Will Smead be appearing in the draft?
No, he is not. Not yet. He may be now that we've suggested it.
Yeah.
So there are 12 overseas players eligible to be picked in the first round, which is called a platinum round.
Oh, platinum round.
Yeah, platinum round. So it's really like the IPL, I guess. And it's going to be on the 28th of August, 6:30, after Australia.
That's soon as well.
It's very soon, after Australia's first secret match against Zimbabwe. So anyway, it's going to be shown on Fox and KO.
Okay.
There are 279 players in the draft, but the most exciting thing is the Renegades get the first pick.
Ah, why
is that?
The
draft pick. Oh, because they're shit, yeah. So there are these 12 overseas players. Let's see who you would like out of these these players, right? This is so we have Faf in the mix. We have Trent Bolt in the mix. We have Liam Livingston, Dwayne Bravo, Pollard, Jason Roy, Billings, Willie, Jordan, Rashid Khan. Now, some of these players are already signed to BBL teams. But anyway, who would you like out of that mob?
I would probably take Liam Livingston.
Liam Livingston. Yeah. I mean, I would really like Rashid Khan, but he's basically going to go back to the Adelaide Strikers.
But surely that's not how,
not
do
how,
we know
draft
how the draft works.
We don't know how the draft works, but anyway.
I don't think Adelaide Strikers can just say, well, he's in the draft, but you can't have him.
But they may well pick someone different. Who knows? But I think I would like Faf. I want Faf in this.
You want Faf? You just want Faf's rig.
Yeah, I want Faf on Faf captaining.
The Ren Rigades.
Yeah, that's a perfect. And we'd have to have a new mascot, a new shirtless mascot.
Yep.
Maybe the woman can wear a shirt. Female mascot can wear a shirt.
Yep.
Maybe the female mascot wears no pants and the male mascot wears no shirt. Who knows?
Yep. We're just brainstorming. Bad ideas in a brainstorm.
No, that's right. So anyway, there's 279 players in the draft, so it could go for some time.
Mm.
Anyway, this will be
that's
very
a
exciting.
Lot of players.
That is a lot of players. They don't all get picked.
I hope they all get picked. I want them all to play, every single one.
They're all going to play all at once.
Yep.
We've got like 50 teams or maybe 50 players per side.
I think if there's 279 players, you should split them up, 140 v 139.
Yeah.
Every time you're dismissed, you're out. You're gone. You're not part of the tournament.
Knockout.
Yeah, so the last 11 remaining get to play.
Is this, what are we going to call this comp? Are we going to call it the 279?
Yes.
Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Okay, again, no bad ideas in a brainstorm.
Definitely not. All right.
He's going to win. He's going to win the Muller.
Oh, I've got one more.
I don't even know. Oh, you got one more?
I got one more. I've got Tim Payne.
Tim Payne's back.
He's back, yes. Yeah, so he's training with Tasmania. So that's very good to see. He hasn't officially signed back up yet with Cricket Tasmania, I don't think. He's just training and getting ready to sneakily make his way back in. So I think it's very good. I think it's a tribute to Payne's leadership that, you know, he was the one, he gave himself effectively a 9-month suspension from the sport.
Yes.
If only Steve Smith and David Warner had thought of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Good okay, stuff. Well, let's see. We've got, I don't know who I'm nominating for the is it the Renegades that are nominated? Warner. We have Australia playing a secret match. We have the international schedule. We're not nominating people here. We're just nominating inanimate objects.
I'm not permitted to tell you who's winning because it's a secret.
It's a secret. Okay, yeah. We'll keep it a secret.
A secret winner.
Keep it a secret from the listeners as well.
Yes. So anyway, you've been listening to Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter, and you can find Kat. He's at Cricket Bat Kat. And you can follow us on Twitter as well at Can't Bowl Throw. You can like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And we will catch you all next week.
August at 6:30. It's after.
Dogs.
Be quiet, pups.
Come here.
What are you doing? You're making too much noise.
Come here, Batman.
Batman.
Batman, come here.
Bobbin. Come on, Bobbin.
Good pounce.
Come here, pup. Come here, Batman. Come sit on my lap. Come on. Is that wherever? Sports Social Podcast Network.